Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Border Breach by Darlene Turner. When drugs are smuggled across the border, it's their duty to stop the culprits at any cost. Forming a joint task force, Canada Border Officer Kaylin Poirier and Police Constable Hudson Steves have one objective: take down a drug smuggling ring trying to sell a new lethal product. But when the smugglers come after Kaylin and Hudson, this mission becomes more than just a job. Can they live long enough to solve the case?
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I'm talking with Darlene L. Turner. She's an award-winning author, and she lives in Ontario, Canada, which I always think is fun. Love Canada. And we are going to talk about her newest book, Border Breach, and also romantic suspense writing. So welcome to my show, Darlene.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, Border Breach is your first romantic suspense. Is it your first book?
No, it's my first. It's my first printed book. I've read two books previous to this.
Yes. Okay, so it's your first book out in the world.
That is right.
How does it feel?
Baby that made out in the world. Oh, it's exciting and scary. All wrapped up in one.
Yes,
but it's been amazing.
Yes. And so, why romantic suspense? Why did you pick that genre?
Well, you know what? Ever since I was a little girl, I loved mysteries. Whether it was a Nancy Drew book, a Game of Clue, or Charlie's Angels, I always wanted to be a cop. Well, little did I know back then that cops don't run around in high heels.
Darn it!
Since I love to read Nancy Drew, I started writing my own version called the Mindy Dobson series.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I wish I would have kept them because it would have been so fun to go back and read it. Well, maybe not.
No, I'm going to stop you right there and say I made the mistake of keeping some of my teenage writings, and my kids found it one day. I don't even remember. I guess my mom sent me this box, and I had it. Oh, my goodness. You know, they were laughing so hard. But they were also like, why did you stop it? Because I would write, you know, you had to handwrite things back in the day.
Yeah,
and, you know, and they were like, well, why didn't you finish? I'm like, I probably got tired. My hand got tired. I don't know. But so they're, you know, and I keep thinking I should just take that notebook and just, like, burn it. But I haven't yet.
That's hilarious.
But, yeah, so be grateful that you didn't, because they do kind of come back and, can make you cringe.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Well, this is what started my love of trying to figure out the mystery, and that's why I love romantic suspense genre.
Yeah, and it's, obviously I do too, because that's what I like to write as well, because I love to read it, and I had all the Nancy Drew books. I had the ones from, like, the 1930s, like the originals.
Yeah, I have some actually sitting by my desk. I've got about 8 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, oh, love Nancy. She is great. Trixie Belden, another favorite. Just all those mysteries.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Of course, I also loved Anne of Green Gables. She's not suspense, but
right.
You know, I'm from Canada, and I always wanted to be Anne in a play. I never was.
Ah, oh, man.
You know, I fell in love with Anne of Green Gables, too.
Well, who doesn't love Anne of Green Gables?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
She's like one of the most plucky, real heroines ever.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Seriously. And her love of books and writing. I know. It was just like a tailor-made heroine for girls who loved to read and dreamed about writing. So did you always want to be a writer? Besides your cop, since you realized you couldn't be a cop, running around in high heels.
Yeah, with high heels, yeah. You know what? When I was younger, yes, I thought of it, and then life kind of got in the way.
Yeah?
And as I grew older, and I lived in, at that point I lived in the Maritimes, which is, like, close to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And I started taking a creative writing course. And in that creative writing course, we had to do a short story. Well, my short story began to be a long story. So I ended ended it with, if you want to know what happens, you have to wait for the book.
Oh,
so that
funny.
Was actually my very first book.
Ah.
At that point, it was called Amber Dreams. And then the title progressively changed to Tangled Memories, and it actually was up for a Genesis Award 3 times. It never won. That one never won. But that's kind of... So I started when I was younger, then took like a put my pen down for quite a few years. Things happened, and then I picked my pen back up, and that's kind of where it started again.
So. Oh, great! I love seeing how people came to writing almost as much as I love hearing about how people met their spouses.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's the question my husband and I always ask when we have people over, like, so how did you two meet? Because I love hearing those stories. It's just so much fun. Of course, the writer in me is going, huh.
Oh, I know, right?
Right, I know, because, you know, real life is nothing like the books, as we all know this. But, you know, sometimes they have these neatest stories of how people met. I'm thinking, if I wrote that as their meet, cute, as they say in Hallmark movies speak, nobody would believe me. They would say, no, can't possibly happen like that.
Well, you
it's
know,
not realistic.
I've got one for you.
Okay.
My husband and I met at turtle races.
Turtle races? Oh, my God. I love that. That is great.
He was actually, it was his first night singing in a country gospel group, and my friend invited me because she wanted us to meet, and yeah, I was at the turtle races.
Oh, that is that like a Canadian thing, like you race turtles?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
They know, they probably do it in Texas or something, you know.
Maybe, yeah.
Oregon, where are those other, wherever turtles live, I don't know where they live.
So, yeah,
that's great. Yeah. Well, my husband and I met at a conference, which is almost as weird because everyone goes to conferences, but nobody ever thinks they'll meet their spouse at a conference.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that was a weird thing.
Cool.
I know, as well. It was, like, in our hometown, too. So, so that was, like, and you're from here? Oh, okay, now things just got really strange. But, yes, fun. Funny. So, we're clearly off the topic of writing, but thank you for sharing that, darling. I love to hear those stories. They're just so much fun. So let's talk about, we're kind of loosely talking about inspiration for our plot. So where do you get your inspiration? Is there things that you read or interested in? Or
Sometimes like watching scenes in movies and TV spark an idea. Like I won't copy the
right.
story.
Of course,
you know, it gives me little bits of, oh, you know, what if this happened? So movies, TVs, reading, news stories, and even actually dreams sometimes. Actually, I've had a dream give me a 3-book idea. I haven't written it yet, but yeah. So sometimes, you know, if I have a funny dream that sparks something, I'll wake up. I've got a notepad by my bed.
A smart woman.
Like, I get, you know, I write it down because, you know, you'll forget it by the morning.
The truth? So, okay, sometimes I'll think of it in one room and walk to another and forget it. Just like
yeah,
these.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Even, yeah, we're recording this in May. I'll just say that to my listeners. Even without the coronavirus added craziness, I would do that. Just way too much on my mind sometimes.
Yeah, that's basically where I get my plots from.
Yeah, I love getting it from a couple of mine I've gotten from, like, news articles.
Yes.
You know, and then go, well, what if that happened? But that what if part of it. And because I love taking the news and twisting it. And sometimes it's just ideas I've had and, you know, they're just it's just kind of fun to craft them into a suspense narrative.
Mm.
So do you find it difficult to write suspense with your romance? Do you find it a good balance?
You know, I find sometimes it can be a challenge because you got to have a mix. And for the romance part of it, you can't have it happen too fast.
Right.
But yet you've got to show that there is some interest there and then mix the suspense in with it. You know,
yes.
So it's kind of 50-50 type of thing. But, yeah, it can be a challenge, but it's still fun because I like to, you know, have them somewhat come together and then I don't know, have someone get shot in there.
Right.
maybe not shot, but okay, maybe they're being chased by someone instead.
Well, you know, you have your hero and your heroine almost about to kiss, and, you know, there's an explosion behind them. I mean, you know, yeah. It happens. Come on, people. Not in my quiet life, but surely somebody's life it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, and I noticed that you'd like to talk about how you research ways to kill someone for your books.
Yes, I love this question. Because, you know, sometimes I wonder if the FBI or the police are listening in or watching what we Google and different ways to kill people.
I know. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I brainstorm with other authors.
Mm-hmm.
I have one writer friend who actually has a list of different ways to kill people.
Oh, that's very handy. You might have to send that to me.
I love
Will you share?
Yeah, I'll have to get it from her. Maybe I will share.
Yeah.
I look through books of things like poisons that
mm-hmm.
I have, forensic books. So, yeah, my husband sometimes gets worried when he sees me researching, like, poison. And
yes, And about the Google searches, I'm like, sometimes I think, well, should I just search on, like, the dark web or someplace just to not? But then I'm like, you know, the cat's out of the bag, people. I'm a writer.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. I Googled, I can't remember now what it was, but I Googled something, and the answer came up, and this is no word of a lie, answer came up, if you did that, you would be in jail. I forget now what it was.
You're like, yes, I know. I need someone in jail. Oh, my goodness, that is so funny.
Let's click out of that real fast.
That is funny. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. But, of course, if you needed someone in jail, you knew what would land them in jail.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, have you ever killed off someone in your book that you regretted?
Not so far. No, just started writing, so...
To give you time.
Yes, me that in a few years.
Yeah.
But you know, I can't say that I have.
Yeah, I've done it once or twice, but I'm like, I was like apologizing to the character. I'm sorry, but you have to die.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, maybe there was one in Border Breach that died that I kind of feel sad that he died.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, but there has to be some mayhem and destruction in our books, or you know, they won't really have the suspense part.
Exactly.
So how do you connect with your characters then? I mean, characters talk to me, of course, because, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a writer, but how do you connect with them? Do you do, like, character profiles? How do you kind of...
Well, that's funny that you say you talk to your characters, because when I was little, I had, you know, you have your imaginary...
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're now called characters.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Developing my characters is my favorite part of the writing process.
Mm.
So first I do, what I do is I pick a name, and sometimes I'll look through, like, baby names,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes I'll go out on Facebook and say, okay, I need a name, a guy and a girl name, go. And then I'll get a whole slew of some of the names you get, though, are, like, hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
yeah.
I'm never using that one. Maybe for the antagonist, but not for my hero or heroine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I pick their names first, and then I begin interviewing them by creating character sketches. Like, their physical build, their likes, their dislikes, their most tragic pain from their childhood. I love to build their history, and sometimes it comes out different than what I originally planned, which kind of surprises me.
Mm-hmm.
I also look for actor pictures of who I picture my heroine, my hero, and my villain, what I want them to look like.
So, yeah.
I do that just to... 'cause, and I also have, I don't know if you're... do you use Scrivener?
I do not.
So Scrivener, for your listeners, is a program where... You can put all your files in one file, so you can import your pictures of your characters. So what I can do is I can have them on the screen behind my sheet that I'm writing on.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see them as I write. So it just helps me visualize.
Right.
I'm a visual person, so you know if I can see them, it just, I don't know, inspires me, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, I love, and I wish I would have. I know people talk about getting pictures, and I didn't realize how important the pictures of my hero and heroine were until I got my first contract. And they're like, "So we need pictures of them for our art department." I was like,
"Yeah,
oh," because I just carried it in my brain. I just had them there. I was like, "Oh shoot, I gotta find a." So I wrote up the descriptions, and I have teenage daughters in my house at this time, so I just sent them the list. I said, go look on Instagram and just give me some selections.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
It was the best idea I ever had, Darlene. I was like, oh, it was pure gold, because they're on there all the time anyway.
Yeah,
let's just be realistic.
Good job for them.
I was. They were actually kind of happy to help.
You fire your kids.
I know. Well, my second daughter, she wants to be a writer of some sort, so she really enjoyed doing that. But the other one, they kind of helped. It was really a help. So now I'm like, okay, I'm not going to have that mistake again. So yes, now I do pick either actor or actresses, you know, or just some pictures from the, so that I have a picture of them, and that helps kind of keep it. I don't really feel like I need it, just because the way my brain works. But I'm like, I'm not going to get caught flat-footed again without having those pictures.
Well, it's best to be prepared.
It is. So I figured that was really helpful. Well, is there anything about border breach? We are almost at the end of our time that you would like our listeners to know before we end the show today?
Well, border breach is basically a story about forgiveness. And I went through a time in my life where I was betrayed by someone that I loved. And I had to go through the process of forgiving that person.
Mm.
And I want my readers to see that, you know, there is joy at the end. Once you go through the journey of forgiving, but once you forgive, you get that joy. And you don't turn into that bitter person. So that's basically the message that I pray that my readers will come out of that, you know, knowing that there is joy and forgiveness.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on my show today, Darlene.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been chatting with Darlene L. Turner. She's an award-winning author. She lives in Canada, and I think you're going to really enjoy this excerpt of Border Breach. So I will see you next time.
Now an excerpt from Border Breach by Darlene Turner. Officer Kaylin Poirier's stomach lurched at the sight of the two people inside a white florist van that pulled up to her booth at the Windsor-Detroit border. The driver wouldn't meet her gaze, and his passenger couldn't sit still. Their body language elevated her guard. Could it simply be her overactive imagination, or perhaps the humid weather putting her in a foul mood? Experience said there was more to it. This was her job, to protect the border and catch criminals illegally importing goods into Canada, whether it be drugs, weapons, or immigrants. Today was no different. Actually, today was different. Security at the border had been tightened by her father, Chief of Police Marshal Poirier.
"We will find every drug smuggler and stop them before they can enter Canada. My daughter will make sure of it," he'd said at a joint television press conference earlier in the morning. She winced at the memory of his firm grip on her arm and commanding voice as he spoke. He'd vowed to clear his city of drugs after numerous gangs had terrorized the community with deadly narcotics. Too many teens had died in the past 2 months, and he expected her to get the job done. No pressure. She wiped perspiration off her forehead and extended her hand out the window of the booth. "Passports, please." She eyed the inside of the van, checking for contents, but the rear of the vehicle was hidden by a partition. Not good. She would have to go around and open the back doors. The men handed over their passports, and she ran them through the bar scanner. "How long were you in the States?"
"One day."
The driver wiped his brow, chewing on his lip. The passenger tugged at his hoodie and sat further back into his seat. Kaylin checked her computer, noting their nervousness. Strange. "What are you declaring?"
"Flowers, ma'am."
The driver produced a paper.
Here's the phytosanitary certificate allowing us to bring them into the country.
She examined the document to determine if all the correct signatures and details were included. Satisfied it was legit, she passed it back to him. He took the form with a shaky hand. Detector Dog Services officer Nolan Keane walked in front of her booth with one of their dogs. The DDS worked with the Canada Border Services Agency and patrolled the border frequently, checking for smuggled goods. The older man had mentored Kaylin during her probation period 2 years ago, and now often shared advice with her on what to observe when inspecting cars as they traveled over the border. The beagle stopped and growled at the van, inching its way toward the vehicle. Kaylin's muscles tensed. Something was up. The dog's actions confirmed her suspicions that she needed to investigate this van more closely. No way would she let the men pass without further inspection, especially with her father counting on her. She stepped outside her booth and stood in front of the driver's window. "Sir, can you shut off the vehicle and give me your keys?" She held out her left hand, keeping her right positioned on her weapon. He shifted in his seat, exposing a gun in his lap. He fingered his Glock. A picture of Kaylin and her father at the press conference lay on top of the middle console. Kaylin's pulse palpitated, throbbing in her head. Why would they have her picture? Her training kicked in, and she whipped out her 9mm as she stepped an inch to the right to get out of his line of fire. "Gun! Hand it over! Now!" The driver's expression turned to a daring snare. Nolan pulled his weapon from his holster. The beagle barked, tugging the officer toward the commotion. The rows of cars lined up to cross the border reminded Kaylin of the pending danger. She needed to contain the situation before panic set in and others got hurt. She wouldn't allow that on her watch. The man opened his door in a flash, shoving Kaylin to the ground. Then he aimed his gun on her. Before he could act, Kaylin rolled to the back of the van and crouched in an attack position. She pressed her radio button. "Officer in need of assistance! Hostiles armed and dangerous! Booth 2!" Nolan took cover behind a column and pointed his gun toward the vehicle. The beagle continued to bark, intent on protecting those around him. The driver pulled the door shut, fired a shot out the window, and gunned the engine, tires squealing on the concrete. "Oh, no, you don't!" Kaylin fired. She hit the driver's side mirror, causing the vehicle to swerve for a split second. The driver straightened the van and stepped on the gas. He shot back, the bullet slamming into the concrete beside Kaylin. She scrambled to her booth, taking a position behind the wall, her heart jackknifing to her throat. Nolan returned fire, damaging the rear window. Sirens sounded as CBSA vehicles made their way to Kaylin's booth. They pulled in front of the van, blocking its path. The driver increased his speed and swerved around the vehicles, scraping the side of the concrete barrier. Then the van raced off into the distance. Kaylin mumbled under her breath and holstered her weapon. Her fellow officers radioed ahead to the local Ontario Provincial Police to pursue the suspects. OPP patrolled the highways and would be nearby. Hopefully, they'd intercept the fleeing van and stop it from getting further inside the Canadian border. Kaylin hated that the two men in the van had gotten away. Not a good start to tightening security at her border. Other CBSA officers directed the bottleneck of cars to the remaining booths. They needed to keep them moving. Nolan approached Kaylin with the dog.
"You okay?"
She brushed gravel off her uniform. "Perturbed, they escaped." Tightness grabbed her chest, reminding her of her father's impending wrath for not doing a thorough job. No doubt she would hear from him and her boss.
"Agreed. Time for the OPP to take over."
He petted the dog.
"Duke sure had a nose for something in that van."
"Good boy." She rubbed the beagle's head. "I wonder what they were smuggling. And what was their intent with her?" Duke barked. Nolan ruffled the dog's ears.
Let's hope we catch them and find out.
Kalen's radio crackled. Officer Poirier, this is dispatch, the female said. Be advised, the police are en route to your location to discuss the incident.
She stiffened.
Great. Now she had to report to the police on the situation. The last time she had to work with them did not go well. A police cruiser pulled up at her booth, and an officer stepped out. Kalen sucked in a breath. Not him again.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.